guest today is Francis Chung. Francis, how are you?
I'm well, thanks.
It's great to meet you. I understand you work for the Patterns and Practices team at Microsoft.
That's correct. I've been there for about 8 years now.
That's a long time. Tell me a little about Patterns and Practices. What's your mission?
Well, Patterns and Practices mainly provides guidance to developers and architects. So we do a lot of deliverables in terms of books. Mm-hmm. You might have seen a lot of books. Mm-hmm. You also might have heard of Enterprise Library. We produce that. That's a reusable library that we produce for developers. And I personally have been on the Prism team for the last few years.
Okay. Yeah, no, I actually did a show on Prism. It was one of my early shows, maybe 3 or 4 years ago.
Okay, probably on the Prism WPF?
Yep, there was a WPF thing at the time, and then I kind of lost track of it. I didn't really think about it for a while, and it reemerged that I heard about that there's actually a version 8, Windows 8 store version now.
Right.
And soon to be a Windows 8.1 version, right?
That's correct. That's correct.
Tell me about that.
Well, definitely Prism has evolved over the time, you know. You talked about the WPF version.
Let's start. What is Prism? What problem does it solve?
Well, that's a great question. Well, when we started looking at Prism, we really were trying to answer what do enterprise developers need when they're developing their applications, right? And the applications at the time were in WPF. If you were trying to build a very really cool, up-to-date Windows app, or Windows app at the time, it would be probably written in WPF. The problems that they were trying to solve were like around composability, around modularity. How do you bring screens in? How do you have things collaborate, and still have a decoupled architecture? So those things were really important to those developers. And fast forward to now, we're really seeing that people trying to develop applications for the Windows Store apps have slightly different needs.
Really?
They still have the needs of composability, or not necessarily composability, but they still have the need to have maintainable applications. If you have an enterprise developer trying to build a business application on Windows Store, there's certain needs you have over a typical game developer. It's a little bit different. And if you want to build an application that's really simple, you may want to do it in code behind. You may have just a small dev team to do it. That's a different need than your typical enterprise developer.
Okay.
So we try to focus on what our enterprise developer customers
so
need.
So Prism is really targeted at the enterprise developers. Larger
it really
applications,
is.
More scalable applications.
It absolutely is. And you'll see that the Prism for Windows Store apps has some overlap with the Prism for WPF. You know, we still have ideas like event aggregation. We implement that pattern in both. As a matter of fact, we shipped a portable class library that works in both. As well, so it works in both Windows Store apps as well as on the full .NET framework. So that's in common.
All right. What's
also
new?
Sorry, go ahead.
What's new with
What's new? A great question. Well, if you're trying to build an application in Windows Store, chances are if you're an enterprise developer, you're probably interested in the MVVM pattern. And so there's a lot of
that's a model view model pattern.
That's correct. That's correct. And there's several libraries out there to help you with that. We decided to see what we would build if we were to build it ourselves. And we played around with what would an MVVM type developer need in a Windows Store app to be successful, right? And so we realized that, well, that platform is very page first. So you typically navigate to a page, and then the page may have, let's say, a view model locator that helps locate the view model that's associated with it.
Okay.
So we build out a lot of MVVM support, like the view model locator and a base view model to help you with a lot of the stuff. And one thing that's really important in Windows Store apps is the ability to recover from termination. If you've got enough memory pressure, your app can be pulled out of memory, but it can be brought back.
Okay.
And so when it's brought back, we need to be able to rehydrate a lot of things that you would
state
have
that was there before it was terminated.
Exactly. And so how to maintain the state in a view model is a little different than the maintaining state in the view. So in a page, there's some infrastructure provided for you that allows you to pull that state out, but we have to figure out how to do that for the view model.
I see. So you're handling that in the framework. To do this rehydration and bring back the view model to the point that it was.
Right.
And then the view itself, is that using data binding then just to automatically figure out its state?
Correct. Yeah, that's typical for MVVM pattern to data bind to things in the view model. Right?
Okay.
So the view model would expose commands and properties that you would expose onto the view. Now, I personally don't want to call our library a framework. I guess you could call it that. There's various pieces that go together.
Okay.
Like the MVVM app base is really our bootstrapper. You know, that's tied into navigation and a few things. But I'd say for the most part, you can take different pieces of our library and use them however you want. For example, we provide validation support. That's something that isn't really provided in the platform right now. But if you want to do forms over data, you'll definitely want to take a look at our guidance.
So it's more of a toolkit than a framework, you're saying.
I would say that. Yeah.
Okay. Let's go through those features. Then you mentioned the MVVM pattern support.
Right.
The composability model.
We don't really have composability here. We didn't feel that the composability.
Oh, that was a feature of the old version and not a feature of the new one.
That's correct.
Okay. Right. I'm sorry. But what was the reason for that?
Well, we didn't feel that people doing Windows Store apps were that concerned with composability.
Oh, okay.
Now, I could be wrong on that.
I'm sure you'll hear about it if you're right.
Absolutely. We work with advisors to try to make sure we're grounded in reality.
Yeah.
And if they were really interested in composability or modularity, mm-hmm. we probably would have known by now. Now, we proposed that question, but it didn't feel like that was the main thing that people wanted to do on Windows Store apps.
Because
Windows Store apps tend to be more simpler and focused. If you're on a screen, your task on that screen is pretty straightforward as opposed to having a screen composed of 50 other pieces.
I see.
That's not as typical in Windows Store apps.
Okay. Yeah. I know also Meth didn't exist when the first version of Prism came out. Has that affected your design decisions and your feature decisions at all?
Not too much.
Okay.
Not too much. We tried to be agnostic to the dependency injection container, for example. Okay. So
I was thinking more of the composability features of MEF, that it kind of solves that problem.
It solves some problems, yeah. But we are handling that differently.
Okay.
So we're not taking dependency on MEF. And I don't think MEF is necessarily out of the box for Windows Store apps.
Okay.
But it definitely is an option.
All right.
Yeah.
So what it does have is MVVM, and it has some validation.
Validation support. Right now we're shipping some guidance on around how to do large grids and lists. Mm. You know, there's definitely some ways to do it more performant in 8.1, and we show how to do that.
Okay.
Not necessarily in the Prism library, but in our guidance. So I'd say that the big thing that we're shipping is guidance, that PNP ships in general. So we ship guidance on how to build business maintainable Windows Store applications, and a piece of that guidance is the reusable library we call Prism.
Okay.
So, for example, the guidance on how to build large lists and grid views in a performant manner, that would probably show up in our reference implementation, our sample app.
I see.
That you'll see how to do it. I think we actually ship a quick start on how to do that, too.
Oh, okay.
But there's nothing reusable that we would put in the reusable library that would really help with that.
There's nothing reusable in the reusable library? Is that what you said?
No, there isn't anything reusable that would help you with the building of the large grids and lists to make that performant. There's definitely some ways to do it correctly.
I see.
So we show how to do that, but we didn't find anything in building that large list that would be reusable enough to
described how some patterns around doing that.
Just show how to do it.
Okay.
And make sure that we're doing it correctly.
Okay.
And we've been working very closely with the Windows team to make sure we're doing it correctly.
Yeah, I think that's a big deal right now, because a lot of people, even though Windows 8's been out for a year and Windows 8.1's come out, a lot of people are just getting started in building these applications.
Right.
And they really could use some guidance. The paradigms are a little bit different than they were in the past.
Absolutely. There's nothing that... Another thing that we've been working on also is the auto rotation.
What does that mean?
Now, when you're writing an application for a Windows Store app, it's very common that you run this on a tablet. And to take that tablet from landscape to portrait is very common. You want to see what that looked like. And you need to make sure as a developer that the experience makes sense for your customers. So if you were to rotate it, should it pan sideways or up and down? The guidance, the UX guidelines say you should pan up and down. Mm. But in order to do it correctly, you have to code that. So we're providing some support for that. We're considering shipping an auto-rotating grid control that would even perhaps maintain your relative scroll position. So let's say you scrolled, you know, halfway through your list, and then you rotate it. Does it make sense to start from the beginning, or should you be in the right. same relative position?
Right.
These are all things that I think especially business developers are going to need to know. Definitely even non-business app developers, they need to think about these things.
Right.
So they don't necessarily have to take our way of doing it, but it's important to expose these as things you need to cover when you build these applications.
How do developers get access to these resources you're mentioning?
Well, we are pre-release right now, so you can get access to our code at, I think it's PrismWinRT at, it's on CodePlex. Just look for Prism.
All right, I'll put a link to it.
Yep, and also, once we ship, we'll be shipping on MSDN.
And does that CodePlex also contain the guidance documents you're talking about, or is that somewhere else?
There should be a link to the guidance documents, yes.
Okay.
But the guidance documents will be on MSDN.
Okay. Anything we haven't talked about that we should have?
Boy, there's a lot more that we haven't covered. So, but I would say go out to CodePlex. You can follow us. We put out drops every 2 weeks.
Okay.
And follow us and definitely give us feedback. If there's something that you think that should be included in guidance for Windows Server applications, let us know.
What's the best way to give you feedback?
Through the CodePlex site.
Okay. Do you have another online presence just for yourself?
Oh, I have blogs.
Where's that?
At, I'll give you the link for that.
Okay.
I forget the URL. I think it's blogs.msdn.com/Francis Chung, I believe.
We'll check it out.
Yeah.
Check Francis, out. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
The pattern still remains on the wall where darkness fell.
Well, hopefully this will be useful to some of my friends that are like me, in love with technology. Have a good day.